Welcome to another episode of the Big Pod Machine. Jason Williams along with Gordon Wittenmeyer. How we doing, son?
We're doing all right.
Good.
The Reds, I think, are doing better than both of us, despite all these injuries and COVID cases. It's crazy.
I mean, what can stop these guys? That's not really the question I want to ask you.
Injury, illness, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Astros, none of them have done it.
Right. Seattle
came in. We thought they might sweep the Reds, and look what happened. They
get 2 of 3. So as we record, 20 games left. You might be listening to this when there's, I don't know, 18, 19.
Friday is when that 17 games starts left with the Cardinals.
But we've talked about this before. 17 of the final 20 games against teams with a losing record.
And the one that's got a winning record isn't scaring anybody. That's the Minnesota Twins.
Two things I want to talk about today before we get to the bleacher feature. One is a question that you had. You had a nice piece on Cincinnati.com about 10 questions for 20 games. I want to address one of your questions. Do they have enough left in the tank?
Well, go to Cincinnati.com and read the answer. No, but I'll tell you right now. No, of course they don't. They haven't had enough all year. But they're going to get some guys back very soon, and that might be enough. Hunter Green's coming
back.
Seems
to me like you're contradicting yourself, like you're saying no, and then you're saying yes.
Well, they don't have enough. Look, they've been undermanned all year. They've got more major league debuts than any team in baseball this year. They've got more rookies.
What number is it?
They're at 16 right now. We think that's probably going to be where it ends, but who knows?
What's the major? Is that major league record?
No.
Are you talking about start pitching? No, pitchers.
No, I'm talking about 16 major league debuts. Okay. Period. The Cleveland Guardians had 17 last year,
but the Reds have had 17 different starting pitchers.
They've
this
had
year.
17 different starting pitchers, including
that was my question. Is three, that a major league record?
I don't know. I don't know that it's the most this year.
Okay.
It might be. I haven't looked that up yet. I just ran the names last night. But you know, teams like the Royals and Oakland that don't expect to win, and they're running a whole bunch of people through there. A lot of times we'll use that many. I mean four times they've used an opener, three different pitchers, three different relievers. Yep. So, I mean, that adds to the number too. But the big reasons why are injuries, and then more recently, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th, they used new pitchers all three of those games because of the injuries and the COVID outbreak. And they won two of them. I mean, that's unbelievable. One of those guys was at AA when they called him up. He's not even on the 40-man roster, Carson Spires. And he gets another start Saturday against the Cardinals.
So you're
going to try to tell me they have enough to make the playoffs? Of course they don't. But they've gotten this far without having enough. So I'm not here to tell you they're not going to do it. I know, right? It's impossible is what I'm saying. What they're doing shouldn't be possible, and they're doing it anyway.
Right. Huh. Well, but, and that dovetails, to use one of your words, into my next question.
And I'm never going to use that word again because you keep throwing that back.
I use that a lot, even in conversations with my buddies. I use dovetail. I got it from you. The next thing is the schedule.
Yep.
And so when you think, do they not have enough left in the tank? Well, they've somehow survived without having much in the tank.
We're going to talk about Will Benson here, aren't we?
Yes, but hang on. They've somehow survived without much in the tank through the toughest part of their schedule.
Remember, a couple weeks ago, you and I
were harping on that 11-game stretch against the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Cubs.
And then with a red-hot Seattle team right behind the Cubs. And by the way,
then a red-hot Seattle team
that
right
whole
the Cubs.
Thing started. Like, go back a series before that against the Angels. Otani pitched maybe his last game ever in that series. But they flew out to California when of all things, a hurricane was coming up the West Coast. And so they started that whole stretch with a doubleheader right ahead of all those tough games.
Mm-hmm.
Off day to off day, they played 17 games and went 9-8. With massive adversity every step of the way, including that plane is getting stuck on a tarmac. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember we talked about that and thinking, like, is that 24-hour period going to destroy this team? No, that didn't either.
It may have contributed significantly to the COVID outbreak.
It might have. Oh, yeah, because they're all cooped up on a plane
for 8+ hours and then a bus for a while and then the actual flight.
Interestingly, though, they come out of that stretch 9-8, which that's a microcosm of if you're right around 500 in baseball today, you're going to be in the thick of the wild card race with the expanded wild card race. So you're 9-8, you survive that stretch, and the Reds are, what, 4 games over .500 right now as they head into this weekend series?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before we started this podcast. What if they had gotten swept by Seattle like a lot of people thought they might?
They'd be
500 right now and 4 games back in the loss column of the last playoff spot. And the loss column, obviously, is the key thing mm-hmm. to watch because that's games in hand to the team that's ahead.
But things are playing out. Well, again, still 20 games left, but things are, you know, you're one of the teams that you thought that was going to be there is starting to fall off. The San Francisco Giants, which for the Reds, that's good because they lost the tiebreaker to the Giants. Now, again, the Giants are still only, as we talked today, 2 games out of the wild card, but they've been really struggling.
Yeah, I think the Giants are toast. One series, two at the most, away from being out of this thing.
So then,
remember, they've got a tough
But on division. The flip side, we talk so much about the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Giants. The Giants have fallen off, but here come the Marlins.
Okay, so I'm going to give you 2 points on that. The Diamondbacks and Cubs play 7 games in the next 10 days, I think it is. Somebody's got to lose those games. And even if they just hold serve and go 4-3 one direction or the other, that's an opportunity. And remember, the Reds have the tiebreaker with the Diamondbacks, so that's a game in hand there. And the Marlins still play another series against the Braves. And I think they've got 2 against the Phillies left.
So this goes back to the first question you ask in your 10 questions for 20 games. And this all relates to this is, do they have enough left in the tank? When you factor in all of these things, maybe they don't need a lot left in the tank, given that the schedule
be
and who else is playing who else.
Because if they think that way, they're going to lose this thing.
And that brings us to what
Will Benson
said. Yeah. I almost called him Will Bennett for some reason. Will Benson said after the game the other
night. My favorite quote maybe of the year.
He says, and I'm paraphrasing right now, but he said he's looked at the schedule and then, quote, we have to knock them out as early as possible, talking about the weaker teams.
Talking about each of these games they play as they go against the non-contenders.
Understanding that they may give in if we put up 4 early in the game, that's something I see is going to be very imperative going into the last stretch of games. It's really coming out there and showing no mercy.
No mercy.
We don't have time to mess around, end quote.
Yes. Yes.
It's really coming out there and showing no mercy. We don't have time to mess around.
Yeah.
Money quote right there.
Right there. That should be plastered on a poster on the clubhouse wall for the rest of this stretch.
Doesn't that sound like something a veteran who's been in the big leagues for a long time would say? But
yeah.
One of their young guys. He is kind of an older guy.
Yeah, he debuted last year, so that kind of gives him more experience than most. Hey, and don't forget, he was in the playoffs last year with the Guardians.
That's right.
This guy was on a team that won a playoff series last year and almost beat the Yankees in the next round.
You and I, as our listeners know, covered the Twins together earlier in our career, and Ron Gardner, the manager, he used to say that as well.
Yeah, he said that you put your foot on their throats and they'll roll over later in the game. You get them early and they'll roll over later in the game. And there's a couple reasons for that, right? A talent deficit, for one. And when you have a talent deficit where you have a losing record, a lot of times that's because you don't have a lot of pitching. Yeah. So by the time you get to the late innings, if you're down three or four runs, you kind of feel like you're out of it. But the other thing is some of these teams, including the Cardinals, who they play in two series the rest of the way,
yep,
have traded away a lot of their pitching.
But I think, and it goes back to your point, be careful thinking what I was saying, because you have a lot of guys on these teams that are out of it who are trying to prove themselves that they can make the club next year or stick in the big leagues.
The Cardinals, I think, are kind of an exception to that.
They would love to ruin a playoff.
For sure, and they're a division rival. The team that kind of scares me in this stretch is the Pirates.
I was going to say the same.
Because they always play them tough. There's a lot of young players there. They're definitely playing for something, to prove something. And they do have young talent.
Yep.
So that's the one that, you know, no mercy. You know, go into that one with as much energy as you can muster. And know that you're going to get their best.
Yeah. You know what I find interesting, kind of veering off, we don't have a script, but we talk about what we want to talk about. I was looking at the standings last night, and it's just kind of funny to think in the expanded playoff, like the Pirates were seven games out of us. And I know that that's a lot with 20 games left, but it's still like...
They got a losing record.
I know.
I mean, see, that's the thing. They got a losing record in like five, six, seven teams to jump.
Right. And I'm not saying they're going to, but I'm just like, you look at it and you're thinking like, oh, the Pirates, they're like 15 plus double digit games out. But that's the thing about this expanded wild card is it gives a lot of teams hope. And I'm not saying the Pirates think that, but I'm just saying like, you look at it, you're like, you know, a hot streak.
You know, I like it. I love it.
I do too. I think it's great. At first I didn't like a lot of this, but I think this guy grew up with baseball.
I coach it, and I think
it's a beautiful thing. Games. I covered it obviously for a couple years there.
Like, you play 162 games,
right?
It seems like it should mean more. And there's only so much, like the team that's the best in baseball only gets so much advantage out of that. But this is better for baseball as a whole, for the fans around the country as a whole, I think.
But exactly. This is great for capturing the casual fan. You're seeing attendance up, all the things that they've put in. I'm not going to sit here and say that the pitch clock or whatever has what's drawn more people back to the game. It hasn't hurt.
I don't think it's hurt, but... It's helped people by the time they realized the difference it was making. It's helped people be willing to take their kids to a game on a school night because games get over quicker and they start and they start at 6:40 instead of 7:05 now.
And you've seen an uptick in here in Cincinnati in midweek games, attendance.
Hey, let me go off script for a minute because you brought up the standings. Go off the script that we don't have. And this is, I was looking at this. Look how close the Cubs are to the Brewers.
Yeah.
Now, keep this in mind.
I did see that.
Keep this in mind. If the Reds make the playoffs, in all likelihood, it's as the third wild card. The third wild card plays the worst of the three division winners. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the Central. Mm-hmm. Do you want to play the Brewers in the first round if you're the Reds?
No.
Hell no. Root for the Cubs. If you've, as much as Reds fans hate the Cubs, Reds fans should be Cubs fans down this 20-game stretch, too. They don't play them again. Probably not going to catch them, and it really doesn't matter if they catch them or not. But if the Cubs catch the Brewers, then it would be the Cubs that the Reds would face. And I would think that's a much better matchup for the Reds.
Yeah.
So root for the Cubs.
I agree with that. 3-13.
3-10.
3-10, yeah. 13 games, 3-10.
3 out of 13, yeah. And they've been, like, two of them are 1-0 losses. There's at least one other shutout in there. I mean, their pitching just dominates the Reds.
Yes.
And that was when the Reds were at full strength.
Right. You know, the question is what everyone is want to know, are the Reds. Yeah. Right. Do they have enough in the tank? Stay tuned. There's been I know folks can relate to this. There's been so many times, even in the middle of a game, you're like, that's the moment. That's the moment. It's over. That's right. The moment that, you know, I can't even think of like, but I can think about as I'm sitting there watching games or listening to them on the radio. You're like, okay, they're done. How many times have you told yourself that this year?
Well, I'm talking about fans. I stopped telling myself that.
Yeah.
They got down 7-1 in that last game against Seattle. They came back and scored a couple, so it was 7-3. Then they loaded the bases with one out, I believe.
I'm not even talking about that game. I'm not talking about they're done in that specific.
I'm talking about they're done for the season. Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
And I'm not just talking about a stretch of games. There would be moments.
We thought they were done in May. Are you kidding me?
Right.
They started off 7-15 after losing 100 games.
Right.
And their starting pitching was in tatters and was among the starting pitching's been among the three worst ERAs in baseball all season. The only two that are worse are Colorado and Kansas City. Colorado and Oakland.
It's funny to sit and think about back then. No, like remember they set the record low attendance for a game against Tampa Bay
this year.
This year.
That's I remember crazy my
opening day column was like, "Enjoy this, savor this moment," and it was a record crowd on opening day. Savor this moment because you're not going to have many of these just joyous moments. Where everyone is just loving life as a Reds fan and enjoying it. And, you know, that the euphoria of a new season, because by the time this is all said and done, they will have lost 100 games. It's going to be more depressing than it was last year when they lost 100 games. And look at these guys. It's been truly an amazing story.
It's been truly impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen anything like this in 20-something years of doing this, a whole bunch of different teams, and even looking around the landscape at other teams. I mean, it's hard to really find a comp for this if they pull it off. If they don't, they're just going to be another team that was a few games over 500 and had a nice season that nobody expected.
Right.
That's happened a bunch of times. But if they make the playoffs, and God forbid, if they win a playoff series, this is the story in baseball this year.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you mentioned something.
I think they're a major story in baseball this year anyway, regardless.
Yeah, they just jumped right into the national spotlight in June, and it's dimmed a little here and there along the way, but they've stayed at no worse than the fringes of that national spotlight. And if they And down the stretch here, if they make some noise, they're going to be what everybody's talking about, at least on the National League side. And you know, what we haven't mentioned is Ellie De La Cruz, right? He looks at times like, if you want to talk, he's kind of symbolic of this team, right? Because there are many times where you've looked at him and said, well, they've figured him out. Well, his magic ride is over, or maybe they should send him back. You know, he struck out four times in a game, four times already this season. Ryan Howard has the major league record for four strikeout games at 29. He didn't do it once in his first 149 games. So that's a lot to start a career. And they batted him leadoff, third. He's batting fourth now. But the thing about him is he impacts the game so many ways.
Yeah.
He's literally the fastest guy in the game. He's got the strongest infield arm in the game. When he connects, he can hit the ball 450 easy, and he's got really easy range at shortstop. He can change a game. He can do nothing for eight innings and change a game in the ninth, and we just saw that the other night against Seattle. And that's what that's part of what's going on here. It's
that rough stretch you know, in July and in really, I mean, in August.
Yeah, really.
Really, after, yeah.
Like he peaked. Remember that game where he stole
Let's
home?
Let's just say if the Reds had been healthy.
Yeah.
And they hit that rough patch there. It was, remember that rough patch right around when India went down early, late July.
Coming out of August. The All-Star break, they lost a few games and they won five straight. And then that's when they started
and then that
putting guys in. And India got hurt.
But in that stretch, let's say if everyone were healthy and you're struggling like that, would you have sent Ellie De La Cruz down? I wonder if it was a discussion even with the injuries.
So that was a question that was asked, essentially. Like, why are you sticking with this guy? And why are you sticking with this guy as prominently as you are? And the explanation was along the lines of what I just said. It's because he impacts the game even when he looks like he's not. Yeah. If you're casually watching the game and you don't think he's doing anything, he's got four strikeouts, maybe he made an error in the fourth inning, and you think, man, this guy needs to go down. He'll do something. Like, he's so big and quick and fast that sometimes he'll make a play at short look easier than it is, and it's a play that robs a hit. But again, I call it easy range, and it really is. He gets to balls quickly, and a throw from the hole for him might as well be a throw that a second baseman makes, you know, a short, because he's got so much arm. He has created so many outs in the field that he's valuable to have there. And so as long as he's plugged into the game and playing hard and he's not, you know, there's not signs that he's getting overwhelmed or mentally taking at bats into the field and things like that, then you live with it.
I was at the second Mariners game, and you know he ran him out of an inning basically,
yeah,
or early in the game where they had a shot to, you know, and then there were what, a couple of base hits where he would have scored easily.
And what did he do in the ninth?
And then what did he do in the ninth? So you look,
his wheels that, won him the game.
Yes, I was getting to that. But you take, that's the perfect example, is you live with him running you out of an inning because there's that other side and what happened in the ninth where he scores the winning
run. And by the way, they live with everybody running him out of innings.
Yeah.
Because that's their game. And it's how they get the most out of their lineup, because the upside is the reward is so big when they get it that they'll live with the risk and the downside. By the way, an observation I had, and anybody listening to this who wants to shoot us a text or email, whatever, a tweet, I'd wonder what other people thought. So you mentioned running him out of that inning because he got thrown out stealing.
Yep.
So the same guy is behind the plate in the ninth, and he doesn't get thrown out. I don't know how close you were watching, but I saw a quickness in his jump that I don't know that I've seen since June. And I wonder, maybe July, right? But I wonder if not only are they defending him better, we know that, but I wonder if there's been a sort of a wear and tear.
Physically hitting
whether
the wall.
Whether it's fatigue or whether it's just, I know I'm fast.
Yeah.
His post-game comments indicated something along the lines of what I thought I saw. That he was determined once he beat out the infield hit that he was going to steal second and they weren't going to throw him out. And so sometimes, you know, the difference at the major league level. Yeah, but and it's also an amazing quickness and speed too. And the difference at the big league level between success and failure sometimes is so razor thin, it's almost imperceptible. And if he can bring that, like if he can rediscover that next level of energy and you know, vitality that he seemed to have and excitement when he first got here. And I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I mean, none of this would be intentional, but if he can find that in the excitement of these final 20 games, watch out. I mean, he yeah. there might be a little bit of a surge coming from him.
Good stuff. Let's switch gears into our fan feedback segment, which we call the Bleacher Feature. And today it comes from Twitter, and it's from @John_D14.
Johnny D. Thanks for Johnny the D. Thanks for the tweet at me.
Have any other teams in baseball had COVID outbreaks this season?
No, and by outbreaks, we would probably define that as three or more positives at the same time, because that's what triggers a team's ability to add a substitute player who might not be on the 40-man roster, or you don't have to otherwise make a move where you have to option anybody or DFA anybody. The Reds are the only team that's done that this year.
Where they've had to use the
COVID rules.
Yeah.
And I haven't, I mean, just anecdotally, I don't know if I've heard of maybe one or two around baseball, and talking to people around the game, they haven't heard of any. We think it might be the first in at least 2 years. But we also know that there's surges going on around the country right now, a new variant and the whole thing. And one of the places where the surge is happening is out west. They were just out west. Mm. They spent all that time on the airplane. And then they go to San Francisco, which has a high rate relative to some of the rest of the yeah. country, too.
Well, just the fact, too, these guys, like, you know, they're always in close. I mean, they're in yeah. the clubhouse
They're
together,
a close right? team, right? Yeah.
Right. Like
these are guys that have meetings all the time. They're always on airplanes together, always in meetings together, always in the clubhouse together.
The
airplanes and, you know, those, that's just comes with the job. But yeah, extra meetings. Like, they have more meetings than most teams
right.
that have been around. But that 8 hours stuck on a tarmac didn't help anything, for sure.
Explain because it's the first time it's been used this year. Just generally explain what the COVID rule is now, and it's,
well, most of the COVID protocols are gone.
All those are okay.
Yeah. So the only thing that's left is this: if you and they've sort of just sort of granted,
if your team has an outbreak of three or more players at the same time,
it takes three, and then you can use a substitute player. You can add a substitute player. Those are the terms they use. And so in this case, it was Carson Spires from AA, who's not on the 40-man roster, but he's about to make a second start for this club without being on the 40-man roster. That's allowed under the COVID rules because he was a COVID replacement, a COVID substitute. And so they've had a
but
couple
is it,
of
But is it only – you're only allowed one substitute?
No. For whoever's – on the COVID list. And so if there's
three guys that are on, you can then add three substitutes,
but it really only matters if you're trying to bring up a guy who's not already on the 40 man. So, you know, okay. usually your first choice is, you know, by definition, probably going to be a guy on the 40 man. But I mean, this is how depleted they got.
Well, let's, on the flip side of that, talk about from the front office standpoint, you're able to evaluate this guy who's not on the 40 man. And
yeah, although if he's terrible, how valuable is that evaluation?
But isn't it a bonus for the guy? Like, yeah. I mean, he gets. Here's the question.
I'd love a day in the big leagues. Of course, it's a bonus for him.
It doesn't start his clock, right?
That's a great question. I do believe that he gets service time for that.
Okay.
If you're in the big leagues, you get service time. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that, look, you know, we know that service time manipulation was a big issue. They've resolved most of the problems there. They've taken a lot of the incentive for doing it away. And it really only, it only impacted the superstar players anyway. The guys who you anticipated were going to be superstars anyway, because you worried about club control. Most of that's out the window now. So
keep those comments coming on Twitter at GWMLB, at J Williams Cincy. Email G Witten Meyer. Sorry, I was gonna say G Witten. G Witten Meyer at inquire.com, J Williams at inquire.com. We will feature probably just picking one or two a week to feature here on the Bleacher feature. But a lot of great questions have been coming in on Twitter and on email, and we're trying to get through all of them. And I thought that was a unique one today and led to...
It's topical for sure.
Very topical.
And a lot of people got to be wondering that.
Thanks, right? Johnny D, for submitting that question.
Definitely.
G-Dub?
J-Dub.
I think that's a wrap on another episode of The Big Pod Machine. Catch you next week.